Penguin Random House Audio presents Letters of Note, Dogs, compiled by Sean Usher. Read for you by Louise Braley, Simon Callow, Crystal Clark, Stephen Fry, Toby Jones, Ferdinand Kingsley, Greg Lockett, Chris Nyack, Shazia Nichols, Juliet Stevenson, Mark Strong, and Sean Usher.
A letter is a time bomb, a message in a bottle, a spell, a cry for help, a story, an expression of concern, a labor of love, a way to connect through words. This simple and brilliantly democratic art form remains a potent means of communication, and regardless of whatever technological revolution we are in the middle of, the letter lives, and like literature, it always will.
Letters of Note was born in 2009 with the launch of lettersofnote.com, a website celebrating old-fashioned correspondence that has since been visited over 100 million times. The first Letters of Note volume was published in October 2013, followed later that year by the first Letters Live, an event at which some of these remarkable letters were read aloud to a live audience. Since then, these two siblings have grown side by side, with Letters of Note becoming an international phenomenon and Letters Live shows being staged at iconic venues around the world, from London's Royal Albert Hall to the Theatre at the Ace Hotel in Los Angeles. Over the years, a remarkable range of world-class performers have taken part in Letters Live, and you are about to hear some of them as they breathe life into the Letters of Note that follow. You can find out more at lettersofnote.com and letterslive.com. For all the good dogs, but especially Red, Clowey, Maidy, Lola, Liam, Luna, Buddy, Holly, and Darth. Introduction. The dog was the first animal to be domesticated by humans. In fact, we buddied up with the grey wolf such a long time ago that experts can't be sure exactly how many tens of millennia our friendship has endured. What is certain, however, is that our bond with man's best friend is stronger than ever. Estimates vary wildly, but it is generally believed that there are currently in the region of 500 million dogs keeping humans company around the globe. And thanks to our refusal to stop meddling with nature, they now come in all manner of shapes and sizes. According to the Fédération Cynologique Internationale, World Canine Organization, those 500 million dogs can be divided into approximately 360 officially recognized breeds, ranging from your garden variety no-nonsense players like poodles and labradors, through to the lesser-known, at least to me, an ignorant Englishman, models such as the Norwegian Lunderhund and the Hungarian Moody. And we don't just keep canines around for companionship. On a daily basis, dogs are saving the lives of countless humans as they guide the blind, find bombs, search for missing people, and detect disease. It is difficult to imagine life without them. I write this on a Tuesday in November 2020, an undeniably terrible year now entering its 6,932nd day. For hours a gale has been thrashing the window behind my head and rattling the roof tiles above, the permanent low hum of radiators being warmed serving to remind me that the cruelty of winter is just weeks away. The political landscape is simply too grim to contemplate. Civil unrest seems omnipresent. In the UK, we're in month 9 of a life-changing pandemic that has already resulted in millions of deaths worldwide, devastation to the economy, and the enforced isolation of huge swathes of the population. To put it bluntly, things are not looking or feeling great. And yet, to my right, curled up beside me, is Red, our permanently dishevelled dog. A ball of fluff whose very presence calms my nerves. A cherished member of our family who is blissfully unaware of any problems beyond our four walls, whose beautiful nature brings the very best out of our children and has taught them about life and love in ways we couldn't. It is no surprise to me that many of my fondest childhood memories star at least one of my family's dogs, and I will forever be grateful to my parents for bringing them into our home. Despite all of the above, as far as I could tell, and trust me, I have looked everywhere, even beneath all the chairs, there did not already exist a book filled only with letters related to our trustiest companion, certainly not in the English language. Which brings us to this book, Letters of Note, Dogs, a volume of correspondence in which various people write about, to, or even through our canine friends. It will make you laugh, cry, and ponder our ever-evolving relationship with this magnificent creature, and maybe, should you not already be owned by a dog, convince you to make the leap. Fetch a drink, sit, and let me lead you through this epistolary canine treasury. Sean Usher, 2020. Letter 1. She doesn't answer the phone. E.B. White to the ASPCA, 12th of April, 1951. American writer E.B. White was born in Mount Vernon, New York, in 1899, and by the time of his death, aged 86, he had truly mastered the art of storytelling. His children's novels include such classics as Stuart Little, Charlotte's Web, and The Trumpet of the Swan. White adored animals. According to his granddaughter Martha, he owned at various points in his life more than a dozen dogs that she knew of. Many different breeds, numbering collies, setters, Labrador retrievers, Scotties, terriers, and dachshunds among them. His letters, too, are littered with references to his four-legged friends, but none so charming as this one, written in response to an accusation by the ASPCA that he had failed to pay his dog tax and, as a result, was harbouring an unlicensed dog. Read by Toby Jones.
12th of April, 1951. The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, York Avenue and East 92nd Street, New York, New York. Dear Sirs, I have your letter, undated, saying that I am harboring an unlicensed dog in violation of the law. If, by harboring, you mean getting up two or three times every night to pull Minnie's blanket up over her, I am harboring a dog, all right. The blanket keeps slipping off. I suppose you're wondering by now why I don't get her a sweater instead. That's a joke on you. She has a knitted sweater, but she doesn't like to wear it for sleeping. Her legs are so short, they work out of a sweater, and her toenails get caught in the mesh, and this disturbs her rest. If Minnie doesn't get her rest, she feels it right away. I do myself, and of course with this night duty of mine, the way the blanket slips and all, I haven't had any real rest in years. Minnie is 12. In spite of what your inspector reported, she has a license. She is licensed in the state of Maine as an unspayed bitch, or what is more commonly called an unspaded bitch. She wears her metal license tag, but I must say I don't particularly care for it, as it is in the shape of a hydrant, which seems to me a feeble gag, besides being pointless in the case of a female. It's hard to believe that any state in the Union would circulate a gag like that and make people pay money for it. But Maine is always thinking of something. Maine puts up roadside crosses along the highways to mark the spots where people have lost their lives in motor accidents. So the highways are beginning to take on the appearance of a cemetery, and motoring in Maine has become a solemn experience, when one thinks mostly about death. I was driving along a road near Kittery the other day, thinking about death, and all of a sudden I heard the spring peepers. That changed me right away, and I suddenly thought about life. It was the nicest feeling. You asked about Minnie's name, sex, breed, and phone number. She doesn't answer the phone. She's a dachshund and can't reach it. But she wouldn't answer it even if she could, as she has no interest in outside calls.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?